5 days a week on public television, children took a journey to the same destination, through the same neighborhood. A welcoming neighborhood, especially designed for them by a quiet revolutionary. WGLT's culture maven Sherry Zeck was one of those kids happily watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and to this day is unabashed in her admiration for the host.
I loved him. I wanted to live in his neighborhood. I loved him. You know, as a kid, I was never somebody who liked puppets. I know, that's weird, that's wrong.
Yeah, my jaw just dropped.
So it was really him that I loved. I loved his calm voice. I loved his gentleness. I loved how he changed into his loafers. Isn't that one of the things that's remained so charming and so endearing about him, is that these little habits, which clearly were purposeful, became a routine, right? But what comfort we took in those expectations. And then he'd walk in singing,
"It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?"
And he'd take off his coat, he'd put on his sweater, he'd change his shoes, and he'd continue singing or talking as he sat down, and never hurried, always like he had all the time in the world. But there was a comfort in that. Children love repetition, so I think part of it ties into that. And knowing that every time he comes through the door, he's going to do these things, that plays into that childhood desire for repetition. But also, even as an adult, there's a smile that comes to your face as he walks in and he takes off the coat and he puts on the red sweater. And
how unique was Mr. Rogers at that time in children's television?
There were other figures who led children's broadcasting, who had sort of kindly dispositions, whom you wanted to be your father, your brother, or your next door neighbor. But the profound niceness and quaintness about Mr. Rogers, I don't think was quite shared by any of those other characters, though they all had a neighborhood, whether they called them that or not, right? They had, whether it was puppets or humans, who would regularly stop by and drop off the mail or introduce a cartoon or whatever their function was. I think that the general setup was not particularly unique to Mr. Rogers. It's his demeanor, right, that has been the object of so many jokes for so many years, but also love.
He was an ordained minister as well, so that fed into how he wanted to do his TV work. His demeanor and his nature, he was a nurturing man, which mm-hmm. was something to see in the mid-1960s on TV. That was quite striking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also a fan of the Big Valley, which, you know.
The Big Valley.
I'm sorry, you said the 60s and I thought of the Big Valley.
Really,
and
why you go from Mr. Rogers to the Big Valley, and I need a map to that.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It was because my mind immediately went to television masculinity.
And yes.
1960s TV was full, and 50s TV was full of Western after Western after Western, where even if you had, like on the Big Valley, a brother who's an attorney, he must also be as much of a fighter and gunfighter and wear the hat and ride the horse and show off those very traditional aspects of masculinity involving strength and a propensity to violence and all that sort of thing. All those things which are the opposite of the kind of gentleness that is part of Mr. Rogers' masculinity and his fatherliness and what he projects.
It seems like what he was doing at that time is something that people are really starting to talk about now when they're starting to say, hey, let's look at masculinity and how there could be other layers to that. He seemed to be way ahead of the curve on that.
Yes, he was, absolutely. And no doubt one of the reasons that as much as he's beloved in culture, he's also the object of jokes and derision for not being masculine enough, for not being aggressive and domineering and all those other things enough.
Well, he certainly had courage when it came to hot button issues of the day. Mm-hmm. He did not back away from talking to children about war, about race relations, about all kinds of divorce, taboo subjects that you wouldn't expect to hear.
Assassination.
Mm-hmm. They talked about Robert Kennedy. That wasn't on Captain Kangaroo.
No.
But Mr. Rogers approached that.
And he really knew how to explain it to children. He was really trying to help children understand adult things without forcing them to be in the adult world.
Yeah, you mentioned that he was a trained minister, but his approach to children, I would say, was less from a kind of ministerial position than from a therapeutic one. And he was very much a believer that children needed to talk about things and that children needed to be listened to. One can find article after article, story after story of how he approached children was not that they were miniature adults, nor that they were something other, but rather that they were capable of reasoning, that they needed to be heard, that they had stories to tell, and that they could learn from and respond to stories themselves. So when he approached children, he approached them from what I'm calling a therapeutic point of view. He listened to them. He spoke directly to them. He knew when Robert Kennedy was assassinated or anything that might be prominent in the news, he knew that one shouldn't expect that children hadn't heard anything about that and weren't experiencing anxiety or even trauma because of it. So he faced it head on. That tenderness and that recognition of the need for children to be loved as individuals, respected as individuals, and to have things explained to them face to face, eye to eye. That was one of his real gifts. When that man looked into the camera, you really thought he was looking at you. When he looked into a camera lens, he was able to convey compassion, genuineness, and make little ones and adults on the other side of the camera feel like, yes, he's talking to me and he is all that.
Do we view him differently when once we grow up? Is Mr. Rogers still germane to us as adults?
Well, for one thing, it's very difficult to think about Mr. Rogers as an adult without having it overlaid with nostalgia right, for our own childhood and our own innocence. So that, I think that is in there and that affects us. I encourage all of our listeners to go to YouTube and find the video of Mr. Rogers testifying before Congress. I think he's arguing for funding for PBS.
Yes.
And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. I'm constantly concerned about what our children are seeing. And for 15 years, I have tried in this country and Canada to present what I feel is a meaningful expression of care.
So he's talking to Congress, and it's the same voice. And it's the same kinds of choices of words. It's really one of the best pleas for funding, arguments for funding for PBS you're going to find. But it is 100% the Mr. Rogers we know and love. You don't feel a distance between the guy in the red sweater and the guy in front of the microphones. There is something about the way he conveys authenticity and genuineness that speaks as much to a 3-year-old as it does to a 60-year-old.
Sherry, ultimately, what do you think would be Mr. Rogers' cultural legacy in children's television?
Children do not need to be talked down to. They need to be talked directly to. He met them where they were at, is the phrase that we would say. And I think that was his gift.
Do we see reverberations of Mr. Rogers today?
Well, I don't know if we see reverberations of it, but isn't it interesting that a documentary about Mr. Rogers came out last year and a lot of people went to see it. We were just out in the hallway coming in here, and we ran into a grown man who said he cried when he saw the film. I cried when I saw the film. And now we have a feature film coming out about Mr. Rogers.
With Tom Hanks.
So I think that these sorts of things occur at a similar time for a reason. And we are in a rotten place right now in the world. And I think we are all hoping for some of the comfort that Mr. Rogers can offer. I think that's why we're seeing why this is the moment for a feature film, why this is the moment for a very popular documentary. We are in a difficult historical moment, and I think we all feel a little need for some beautiful days in the neighborhood.
That's Sherry Zeck, WGLT's culture maven. The film, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, is in theaters nationwide. and has earned a 96% positive rating from Rotten Tomatoes. I'm Laura Kennedy.